Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
In this morning for Schlereth and Evans, here's Chad Andrus and Matt Smith.
Look. I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits.
You name it! Look.
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs,
Happy Thanksgiving out there. Matt Smith and Chad Andrus in with you on this Thanksgiving morning. Morning, Chad. Happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving. Matt, I haven't been in here in a while. This is the first time I'm in the new studio.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll sound different today.
Yeah, maybe you will. It sounds better overall, I think. Everything's tuned up real nice. They did a nice job in here, engineering did. So, it's nice to be in here in the new studio. Of course, this is the second year in a row for you and I. We did this last year for Thanksgiving, and I was thinking back on last year, and I was remembering the slate of NFL games. And, Chad, one of the conversations that you and I had was, oh, my gosh, can we get one good matchup? Can we just get one good matchup? And our Thanksgiving last year started with Andy Dalton and the Chicago Bears going to play Tim Boyle and the Detroit Lions. Do you remember that?
I do not.
Yes, that was the...
You have a much better recall than I do, or I just was not paying attention once I left the studio last year.
And that was the matchup to start our Thanksgiving last year. So I'm very grateful for Josh Allen and Jared Goff to start the day today in that context, okay? So in that context, I am grateful for Bills Lions, but in pretty much no other context am I grateful, because the NFL knows that no matter what they give us today, we will digest it. Because truthfully,
I see what you did there.
Anything to get away from our families, right? Anything to just steal a moment in the bathroom and check your phone, or maybe just wander into the living room away from Uncle Ned, who's had a few too many, and it's already noon. You know, that type of situation.
Well, I think, I don't know if this is by design or not, and it's the NFL. Anything can happen, right? I mean, right. You know, we could have a wheels-off Patriots-Vikings 37-34 game tonight, but that, let me tell you, that's not going to happen.
From your lips to God's ears.
That's not going to happen. It appears as if it's going to get progressively worse throughout the day. Because the Lions, at least when Amon-Ra St. Brown plays,
right,
can score.
Sure.
And we know the Bills, when healthy at full strength, can score. So I'm hoping we get some sort of back and forth competitive game early. I don't know if that's going to be the case for the Cowboys at home against the Giants.
No.
The Giants and the Vikings they've got a horseshoe stashed away somewhere, right, with how their seasons
yes.
have gone.
Yes.
And we saw last week with the Vikings when they lost the horseshoe when Dallas came to town,
right.
What happened.
Right.
Right. I think it's just a matter of time before that happens to the Giants. I don't know if the Cowboys do it to them as well, the way they did it to Minnesota last week. But on the surface, again, NFL, anything can happen. That's why they play the games, week-to-week league. But it appears like we might start off fairly strong, or at least have a chance to, and it might get progressively worse throughout the day.
It's strange to say that, but you may not be wrong, because one thing that a lot of you out there, I can guarantee, do not know. Do you know that the Detroit Lions, yes, that's right, the Detroit Lions are tied for the longest winning streak in the NFC with the San Francisco 49ers at 3. It doesn't feel like that, but the Lions are 4-6 and somehow in second place in that, you know, NFC North. They're leagues behind the Vikings, but 3 straight wins for Dan Campbell's team. Pretty impressive. The Thanksgiving slate today, Bills at Lions at 10:30. That game will be on CBS. Giants at Cowboys on Fox at 2:30 Mountain Time. And then our nightcap is Patriots at Vikings at 6:20. And first of all, I'd like to say, and all those are, thank you, Dante. Dante Gomez behind the glass. All those are on our air. So after we get off today, we're were leading into a three-pack of NFL games. But here's what I'll say.
It's going to be like 11 hours of football.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. The only downside to this is the Sunday game. The Sunday slate is going to be a little bit, you know, less packed. So you may actually have to pay attention to Broncos-Panthers in the morning, right? You may actually have to. So we've got a three-pack of games. And like I said, the NFL knows you're going to watch these games. Do you think the NFL thought the Giants were going to be 7-3? You think the NFL thought the Giants were going to be 7-3? We actually have a matchup of 2 7-3 teams today. That wasn't the way they were intending it, Chad. Not at all.
Here's what's a little bit confused. Look, I know, look, with the way it's set up, the Lions and the Cowboys, you always have to have a different rotation. You can't have the same teams playing against them every year. You can't always have divisional opponents, even though the Giants are today. But, like, everybody at 2:30 is going to watch Giants-Cowboys in the country. And that's two of their bigger markets that they love to shove into the Sunday afternoon window for eyeballs.
Right.
And it just so happens they're both 7-3 teams, right? That could be a great Sunday game. So it's kind of backfiring on the NFL because Thanksgiving is the perfect opportunity to put the Panthers, the Jags, the Falcons, right?
Right.
The teams that nobody right. watches that, you know, you knew pretty much were going to be hideous in the spotlight because you got no other choice. Right. But they actually found two teams that have been competent to this point. Again, I'm not a believer in the Giants. We'll see.
No,
I haven't watched them too closely. I guess today will be that day.
Yeah. You know, actually, thinking back to last year, I do remember one thing about Thanksgiving, your Thanksgiving from last year. I remember that was it your mother-in-law who got COVID the night before Thanksgiving and the dinner was at her house?
Yeah.
Is that how it went?
Yeah, we had a
scramble.
How about
that for a steel trap?
Yeah.
I just turned 30, and I haven't lost the memory yet, so there you go.
You have a much clearer memory than I.
I'll get there. Don't worry.
This year, she's okay. She's actually at our house already. We'll be hosting.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I don't know what else going on with that. I've had a super busy week. I've got a busy weekend. I'm just kind of along for the ride,
nice.
Thankfully.
Nice.
We'll see if I have to actually contribute or cook anything when we get home. I do have a bit of a bone to pick this morning.
Oh.
I'm not going to be grumpy. I'm not going to come in here, you know, on fire, screaming and yelling.
Well, good.
But
it's 6 a.m. and people are on their way to the airport. There's going to be enough screaming at family dinner
tonight.
Well,
for those people who were going to the airport or
right.
perhaps experienced something similar this morning, we reached the point in our society, what, 10, 15 years ago, where there's essentially a Starbucks on every corner, right? In my neighborhood, there's actually two in one connected parking lot. You have a drive-thru and you have one that's inside of a Target in my neighborhood.
Okay.
The Target obviously is not open at 5:30 in the morning, even, you know, especially on Thanksgiving. The one in the parking lot, the drive-thru, has always been open at 5. So if I come in here to do a morning show, I can make a pass-through.
Sure.
On my way. Sometimes need a breakfast sandwich, right?
Right, yeah.
Coffee. Get it. I pull up today, and it's 5:24 at the drive-thru. They say, oh, we're not open until 5:30. I went, well, can I wait? I said, oh, yeah, you can wait. You can wait, you know, 6-7 minutes, and we'll get your order. And I thought about it for about 15 seconds. I went, well, there's a Starbucks everywhere. I'll
right.
just drive closer to the station.
Sure.
And then stop at one that's open, and then pull into the station. Well, I come over here and go Arapahoe Road where I know there's a Starbucks. And I pull up to their drive-thru. Oh, we're not open till 6. So no coffee, no breakfast.
Oh.
For
Happy
the next
Thanksgiving.
4.5 hours. Well, I mean, it may pay off when I have an appetite for the Thanksgiving dinner later.
That's right.
But the morning, you know, if I get a little grumpy, Matt,
that's why.
It might be because not so much the breakfast. I'm not a huge breakfast eater, but the coffee, like the. Once you have kids, coffee, you have to have it to function.
I understand it. I understand completely. Make sure you're joining in the RamosLaw.com text line this morning, 303-713-1043. We want to hear what you're up to today, what's on the docket. Are you planning a turkey bowl today? There's a lot of neighborhood turkey bowls out there.
Shout out. I don't know if they're up yet. I'll probably do it again maybe in the 9 o'clock hour. Shout out to the neighborhood turkey bowl. I think this is year 10.
Wow.
Neighbor
okay.
Ed organizes. About 9:15, they get a kids game going out there, and then after that, they play an adult game.
Okay.
So I told my kid to
shout the kids out.
Yep. Yeah, the kids get out there, play first, and then the adults get out there and play after they're a little tipsy and, you know, pull their hammies and twist their ankles and things like that. Yeah. I never make it because I'm always in here or, you know, doing something on Thanksgiving holiday. Told them I would give them a shout out. Maybe they'll be awake or at the Turkey Bowl a little bit later on. I'll bring it up in the 9 o'clock hour.
There's nothing better than a great Turkey Bowl. There really isn't. I love the Turkey Bowl. Outside of the fact that, you know, you like you just mentioned, the pulled hammies and the accidental injuries, that's never great. And there's tons of stories. Actually, yesterday on The Drive, D-Mac and Derek Wolf brought that exact topic up, and the texts were flooding in about all of the horrible injuries from turkey bowls, and luckily I've never seen one. I've participated in my fair share of a turkey bowl, though. There's nothing better, right? You get out of the house for a little bit in the morning, escape the family a little bit, get some exercise in, so then you're tired, you can come back in, have a couple, sit down and enjoy some food, and look, when it comes to the Turkey Bowl, there are some key rules. You know, you can't have anybody that clearly is not in physical, you know, great physical condition playing. You just can't. You know, there's sometimes where you've got, you know, a relative or two that come to the Turkey Bowl. Maybe they're pushing, you know, 65, maybe, you know. It's like Gramps, look, you know, I know back in the day you could throw a wicked spiral, but you know, it's the men out here on the gridiron, the Turkey Bowl. Although, I will say, I think it gets a little messier when you start doing the co-ed and, you know, all ages Turkey Bowl. So you got the 5-year-old running across the middle and you're just lobbing it over. You know, that's when you get a little bit dicey with the Turkey Bowl. Although, I will tell you, I haven't been able to participate in one in a while. The old shoulder. If I went out, you might get one good throw out of me. But it would be like the Chet Stedman and Rookie of the Year guitar riff where Gary Busey feels the shoulder go. That's exactly what we're looking at. We had a couple local teams in action last night, Nuggets and Avalanche last night. The Nuggets were in Oklahoma City, and as we know about the Denver Nuggets, everybody's sick, right? Jokic and Murray came back the other night, both recovering, you know, from health and safety protocols. But as far as I saw, after the game the other night at home against the Pistons that they dropped, it sounded like Jokic and Murray were sick. Apparently, Murray, after the game, was huddled up coughing and, you know, wheezing and blowing his nose. And that can happen when you're recovering from especially a respiratory illness like that. And I was thinking to myself, was it really necessary to bring these guys back for a Detroit game in the middle of November at home? You couldn't handle that one on your own, but they did, and they lost. And last night, they go to Oklahoma City, get out to a big first-half lead. Oklahoma City closes the gap and then takes their own lead in the second half.
Oh, yeah, and it took a double-digit lead. It went from a 19-point Nuggets lead on a couple of occasions to I think they were down 13 or possibly more in the second half. They did come back and get it done. It's that was an interesting game because the second and the third quarter were brutal, about as bad as the Nuggets could possibly look. The first quarter was amazing. Second, third quarter, they got outscored by like 30 or 30-something between the two and then came back to win in the fourth quarter. And I think sometimes we take Jokic for granted a little bit.
Yeah.
The back-to-back MVP and how amazing he was. And he was incredible last night. He came out from the jump, just focused, actually looking to score. He had 39. Yeah, he was amazing. He's clearly the reason why they won the game. Hell, you know, came back and won the game. But aside from Jokic, which we kind of assume as a given now,
right?
He's pretty much exempt from any blame of any sort with what he's proven. Last night, shorthanded again, Jamal didn't play, Bones didn't play, Jeff Green didn't play, Ish Smith didn't play.
Nine-man rotation.
Yeah. Bruce Brown had a triple-double.
Yeah.
He was consistent, and he's a dog, right? He's got some dog in him. He knows how to fight. He knows how to compete, and he's skilled, right? He's not just a play-hard guy. Bruce Brown was great. Vlatko Chanchar had his best game in the NBA. Offensively and defensively, he was amazing on defense last night. Blocks, stops, taking charges, everything. And he put up, what, 25, 20-something, career high?
19.
Okay, yeah, I thought he got to 20.
No, 19.
19.
But he had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 blocks.
Okay.
In 35 minutes off the bench.
Vlatko, 35 minutes was incredible. But Aaron Gordon,
Yeah, man.
Continues to just, look, I don't know what it is about the fan base, what it is about not like fully 100% embracing Aaron Gordon, but I've heard this narrative since he arrived of him kind of being the fourth guy and outside of the big three. And, well, you know, they've got Jokic, Murray, and MPJ. They've got Jokic, Murray, and MPJ. Look, Aaron Gordon, with those two other guys out, was their second best player last year. With those two guys recovering, he's been their second best player this year. And even if Jamal gets back to 100% or close to what he was pre-injury, Aaron Gordon is still their third best player. Like, Aaron Gordon had 17 points in the fourth quarter and like 11 straight when they were down to keep this game, to keep them afloat and end up forcing overtime. Aaron Gordon was incredible down the stretch last night. I'm going to be a huge Aaron Gordon stan. I'm tired of hearing about MPJ all the time because he has one elite skill.
Right.
I'm just saying Aaron Gordon last night saved their bacon.
Well, let's look at some of these numbers because I think you bring up a really good point. Aaron Gordon last night, 31 points on 10 of 16 from the field, 4 of 5 from 3, 7 of 11 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks. He filled up the stat sheet, right, in a night they needed him to without Murray, without MPJ. And you just brought it up. He was the only other guy with Jokic last year on a consistent basis providing real production, right? And so when I look at Aaron Gordon, this is a guy who's brought in to be their perimeter defender, their perimeter stopper, right? But you knew he could give you other things. He could be interchangeable and versatile with some of the stuff they like to do. He could provide rebounding and hustle, no doubt about it. And he brings size. But the difference in his game this year is he's efficient. Right? In the month of November, Aaron Gordon is shooting 66% from the field and 57% from three. That's ridiculous, Chad. Those are, I mean, obviously unsustainable numbers, but if you can get efficient contributions every night from Aaron Gordon on top of premier defense, that goes a long way to making this team more formidable as it goes deeper into the postseason. But of course, that's really not the key catalyst. That's, I think, the difference in what you're talking about. The narrative is that guys are saying, hey, he's the fourth option, right? He can't get you there. He's not going to give you 31 every night. He's not going to give you 10 of 16 from the field every night. But if he can give you 4 of 6, 5 of 8 on nights when the big three are playing, you're looking pretty good. And right now in the month of November, 66% from the field, averaging 17.5, 7.4 rebounds and 3 assists a game. Those are great numbers, and you'll take it every day of the week.
He had 11 points after three quarters last night.
That's impressive.
So you tell me who led the comeback.
That's impressive, man.
Right?
Yeah.
When he finishes with 31. Here's the thing with Aaron Gordon. Aside from being AA number one on the speed dial list for every marquee pickup game across the country because he shows up and appears in every single one of them.
Right.
When you see YouTube videos, TikTok, and in the movie Hustle. Aside from that, he was the only person that stated at the exit interviews last year in the offseason that he needed to work on basketball IQ and how to better play with Jokic. He made it clear that they have the smartest player in the league, the two-time MVP, and I need to know how to work with him the best way possible and better understand spacing and how to play basketball. That was his goal for the offseason. It's clear that it's manifesting now that they have started the season. He is a better cutter. He's getting, I think he leads the league in dunks. If he doesn't, he's way up there because he's getting a lot of open looks at the basket because he's playing with Jokic and he finds open space and he's going to get the ball, right? So more players, particularly one, particularly the one that wears number one on the roster, need to adopt that mindset.
Yes, sir.
And that mentality.
Yeah.
Because you see the fruits of it for Aaron Gordon. We know about the physical talent. We know about the defensive prowess because of the athleticism and the flexibility he has to guard multiple positions. But offensively, he has kicked it into another gear because he understands how to play around their centerpiece better. And he's been fantastic. Like, I can't say enough about Aaron Gordon. I will stand Aaron Gordon all day long on that team.
Well, a big part of it for Aaron Gordon as well is the Nuggets are now harder to guard this year. The Nuggets were very easy to guard the last few years. I mean, well, maybe not the year before when everybody got hurt, but since Jamal went down, since MPJ has been out of the lineup, that's an easier team to guard. You know, you really just clog the passing lanes on Joker, and you let Joker go for 50 every night, and you got, you know, as long as you can take everybody else away, you got a pretty good chance to win that basketball game, because you know Nikola's going to get his, right? But now that you have Bruce Brown and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in the lineup, and even guys like Bones Highland, right, and you talk about MPJ and Jamal, that means that Aaron Gordon isn't seeing nearly the amount of defensive attention that he saw last year. It also means that he's not one or two or three on the scouting report. He's probably four or five most nights, right? Which allows him more freedom and more space, and he's not getting guys doubling him if he gets a ball on the block. He's not having to face another team's premier perimeter defender every night, which he may have at many points last season. So if he can have a little bit more freedom, you will get more production from him. But, again, we bring this up, and I will say about Aaron Gordon real quickly, I covered him in college because, obviously, I did play-by-play for CU, and I, you know, saw him at Arizona, and what an unbelievable freshman he was, just an athletic marvel. He really got screwed by where he got drafted, right? I mean, Orlando was a horrible place for him. That was a team with no direction, and they asked him to be something he's not. But, in a way, it was a blessing in disguise because it gave him the freedom to expand his skills. He wasn't a shooter in college. That was never what he was. He was a baby Blake Griffin. If I had to give you an example, I saw Blake Griffin play live in college in Oklahoma as well. He reminded me a lot of that guy, a freak athlete, great rebounder, you know, smart player, but a ways to go. He played for Sean Miller. If you don't play hard for Sean Miller, you don't play, right? So it was really interesting to see him transform in Orlando and really try and become a perimeter scorer, and they gave him the freedom to do so. There were times he excelled. There were times that he struggled, certainly. But since he's come over here, he's really, I think you just brought up his awareness of recognizing that he had to make the improvement in his game, not shooting, not this. How do I better fit with this team? How do we become more of a cohesive unit and myself become a smarter basketball player? And that takes a level of maturity that you really don't see from a lot of guys. And you just mentioned one of them who you're never going to see it from, by the way, in Michael Porter. You'll never see that from Mike. You'll never hear Mike go, I need to work on my basketball IQ.
Who else played well last night? Vlatko.
Yeah.
International player that played EuroLeague this summer.
Great point.
Which member of the Nuggets that was not playing in EuroLeague was over there at the games watching, supporting his teammates? Aaron Gordon.
Right. Yes,
and what do we always hear from the European players about the team game and not hunting the stats and focusing on moving the ball and, you know, how the unit works together, right? And Aaron Gordon actually went to support his teammates and witness it firsthand in those environments, right? He's put in the work. He's put in the effort to maximize his skills in the context of this team led by Jokic.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, you talk about Nikola Jokic, and look, they beat the Thunder in overtime last night after, like you said, they had to come back. They were up big in the first half. They had to come back double digits. And then it was really a tight game down the stretch. They outscored OKC 36-23 in the fourth after getting outscored 34-15 in the third.
Look, I know there's basketball haters out there. I know there's people that are going to scream from the rooftops, you know, what about the Avalanche? You know, Stanley Cup champions. Talk hockey, right? You know, Broncos are playing. Quit talking about the Nuggets. You know, we're always going to have that. And they're going to say, it's just Oklahoma City. You should beat Oklahoma City with, you know, Jokic and a bag of balls, right? Here's the thing. The Nuggets won on the road after a painful loss at home, shorthanded with no point guard available. Now, I'll wait till the end of the season, and you can come back to me, and you can show me the list of teams that get a road win with no available point guard. So you come back to me in the spring.
It's true, man.
And show me who else is going to do that. I don't care if it's Oklahoma City. I don't care if it's Houston. I don't care what team you're playing. I don't care if it's Detroit, right? You saw what they did against the shorthanded or a weakened Nuggets team. They won on the road. But show me at the end of the season another team that is going to go on the road anywhere and win without a point guard available in their lineup. And the Nuggets did it.
And that's why the addition of Bruce Brown was so big. I mean, like you mentioned, he had a triple-double, 17, 13, and 10. If that's a guy who really isn't a primary ball handler and can still give you 10 assists, that's a big deal because you lost Barton and you lost Morris, right? Two of your more established primary ball handlers. And if you can get that from a guy like Bruce Brown, that's essential because Bones Highland is a younger player who's really starting to come into his own, but he probably won't be there on a night-to-night basis, especially from a playmaking perspective. So that's where you need a guy like Bruce Brown, who's been around the league, who's played with some really talented players, to step up and assert himself, especially while Jamal is starting, you know, is still recovering from all that time off and all that injury. So, hey, look, a big win for the Nuggets. And conversely, not a great night for the Avalanche. Chad and I will break down what amounted to a disappointing loss against the Canucks, and we'll do it next.
In this morning for Schlereth and Evans, here's Chad Andrus and Matt Smith.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, Matt Smith and Chad Andrus, filling in for the guys this morning. They are off. How do they do this every day? Like, I would get used to it eventually, I think. I think I would. I'm just, like, not. Maybe give me 10 years, and I might be able to just be up at 5 a.m. every day no matter what.
So I have two friends, two really good friends I'll see this weekend that host a national morning show.
Mm-hmm.
But they live in Las Vegas. So to accommodate the East Coast.
Right there, but like two or three.
Their show is 4 to 7 a.m. And like they regularly speak about, life expectancy. Like, I might get to 56, 58. Like, I'm going to be done. It's like, it's over with this schedule. Like, I can't do it. You know, they're Mountain Dew at 4:30 in the morning.
Just anything absurd. at that hour, it's anything to get yourself going. Really, it is. When I covered CU basketball and was there for practice, you'd have to be there for practice 5:30, 6 o'clock every single morning. And to a lot of people, it doesn't seem like a lot, but you do that every single day. That wears on you, man. Especially,
was that Ricardo?
No, that was with Ted. No, this was Ted.
With Ted.
Yeah, with Ted. Oh, yeah. Every fall, that's how they run practice up there. He'll do mornings in the fall and then afternoons in the spring, kind of shift schedules for classes. So if some kids have early classes, then they can work around it like that. But, no, man, there's the thing is the training camp days are okay because it's just starting. You got to get into training camp. It's all new. But once you start to hit late November, early December, it's cold outside. You got to get up, you're dragging, and to be a player, that's okay because at least you get to the gym, you start warming up. But for somebody like me in the media, you sit there for a 3-hour practice and you're there at 5:30 in the morning. Boy, some of those late December days, those eyelids start to get heavy. You know what I'm talking about? You just okay, just stay awake, you know, because sometimes those practices get monotonous. Join in the Ramaslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. We want to know about your Thanksgiving traditions and some great Thanksgiving movies, because that's something that a lot of people do on Thanksgiving. I know I'll be doing that a little bit later, intermittently with some football. It's definitely throwing a movie on here or there. I think one of my favorite Thanksgiving movies is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That is an all-time classic. Dante Gomez behind the glass. Dante, do you have any favorite holiday Thanksgiving movies that you can think of?
I can't even think of a Thanksgiving movie.
Right.
Like any of them.
What about you, Chad? Like off the top of your head, when you hear Thanksgiving movies, what do you think of?
Man, the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown is more of a Halloween thing, but it's a fall movie,
right? Yeah, it's
right?
The fall, right?
So I think of that, and I have a daughter who's obsessed with the Peanuts comics, so I think of that. And then the way things have gone in recent years with scheduling,
sure,
programming, they started airing A Christmas Story and Elf on TBS November 1st.
Oh, the Christmas has started way too early. It is right? Now. We're now, so it's like November,
it's like
Christmas.
Halloween's over. It's all Christmas, right? So, like, I don't associate too much stuff with Thanksgiving in terms of movies.
There's another really good one that I've got. You've Got Mail. That's another one around the Thanksgiving time. I guess it's set at Thanksgiving.
No, I haven't seen these movies, and so I'm the world's worst with movies.
The world's worst.
I can't quote movies. I can't tell you what happened. I can vaguely recall, like, oh yeah, that person was in it, and I think I saw it at some point, and it was kind of about this thing, and that's about as far as I get. I can't give you quotes. I can't give you scenes. I can't tell you a synopsis. Nothing. I'm terrible. Nothing.
You're terrible with it. Well, I'm the complete and total opposite of that. If you have any great Thanksgiving movies you want to share, Give me something to put on the playlist. I'm curious to see what you've got out there. I'm trying to think of any. You know, I guess if you went like Thanksgiving dramas, like things that happened at that time. The only one I can think of, to be honest with you, off the top of my head, is Scent of a Woman. That one was set around the hoo-ah! That's a great film. That's a great film. I can't believe Pacino is still going and still acting like that. It doesn't look good, but he's still kicking. That Al Pacino.
Why would you stop?
Why would you stop? Once you stop, that's it, right? I mean, especially for an actor like that. So I'm curious to know what your traditions are out there. What do you got on the menu? What will be on your menu? Are you completely removed from that?
So I am completely removed. It is my 10-year-old daughter has created the menu.
Oh.
We went on a European trip and...
I should say.
And visited a few countries because we went on a cruise. So we had a few different stops.
Awesome, yeah.
So
where'd you go?
The mother-in-law had requested a menu inspired by our destinations. Right, so we started in the UK. There's not a lot to work with there. I don't think we're having fish and chips today.
I was going to say.
But we went to France and Spain,
sure,
and Portugal and Italy.
Okay,
so
what
I think
a great cruise.
I think it's largely Italian. Okay. Today for Thanksgiving, maybe with some like Spanish hot cocoa or some French pastries, things like that. Mm. The Portuguese pastries are off the charts.
I bet.
So I think it's more of a European Thanksgiving,
that's
which
cool.
is odd, right?
Yeah.
But you know, there's just nobody that's a big turkey.
A little
fan.
Ironic, you may say, right. That old European Thanksgiving. Dante, right. Do you like Thanksgiving food?
I'm not the biggest fan. Love mashed potatoes.
Okay.
My brother's a big anti-turkey, so we didn't do turkey this year.
Me too. I'm the same way.
Way overrated.
I hate turkey. It's so overrated. It never comes out right. Ever.
It's just always dry. It's like if you need to cover it in sauce, it's,
right.
you know, probably not
right.
the best
That's not
to
a good
eating.
Meal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's got to be smoked. If I'm going to have it, it's got to be smoked. Like a smoked turkey leg, right? I can
right.
go for that.
Okay.
Or a smoked turkey. But if it's just like, you know, your standard Midwestern American
right.
in the oven. Like,
right.
It's always a disappointment.
It's always a disappointment. Have you ever had fried turkey? I've never had fried turkey. Like that
we did
somebody
fried one year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like in a fryer? Like you drop it
yeah,
in the thing.
Yeah, dropped it in there. It was in there for, I don't know, like a very short amount of time, and then you pull it out and it's done.
Any different? Did it taste the same?
It tastes pretty similar.
I mean, right?
You defrosted it first, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I was in the whole cooking process.
Hey, public service announcement to everybody out there. If you are frying a turkey, for the love of God, please defrost it first. We want to make sure that you're around for Black Friday, right? Because those are the videos you see every year. Have you ever seen those videos where people drop the turkey into the fryer and then the entire house catches, just goes up like kindling? That's scary. I have to tell you, if dinner comes with that much of a risk, it ain't worth it for me. But no, I'm not a big turkey guy. You know, I tell you, my grandmother, when we were growing up, made the most bland Thanksgiving dinners on the face of the planet. And it just turned me off to Thanksgiving. It was like you every year you went over for Thanksgiving and the food just sucked. The company was great, but the food sucked. And after a while, and now that I'm normally we'll do like crab legs or ribs for Thanksgiving. Both of those are, you know, pretty good. And it's like a big meal. But outside of that, I'm indifferent, man. You can miss me with all that Thanksgiving food. The gravy, the cranberry sauce, all that, the green beans, the potatoes, the gravy, all that stuff. I'm good.
I'm okay with the sides. Like, the sides are what make it.
Right.
And most of the reason is because it's the only time I have it. I don't have green bean casserole
right.
any other time of the year. I don't have stuffing. I don't have cranberry.
Yes.
Right? So it's like one time a year. And look, I love a good meal. I'm all for, you know, expanding my palate and trying
sure.
things and you know, getting really, really good food. But if it's Thanksgiving and you give me stovetop stuffing out of the box and cranberry sauce out of the can with the ring around it, like, I'm good.
Let's get through this meal, man.
I can do this,
Let
right?
Let us
it's once
get
a year.
Through the meal. All right.
I'm fine with it.
Pumpkin pie, yay or nay?
Nay.
Pumpkin pie, yay or nay?
I like pumpkin pie, but bigger fan of pecan pie.
Pecan pie?
Yeah,
pecan
pie.
How can a legume be a pie? I've never understood that. Like, what is it just a bunch of pecans? I've never had it.
I mean, there's some sort of like sauce to it too. I can't, you know, I don't know the behind the scenes of it, but it's very good.
Is it just give me a little scoop on the pecan pie?
It's got pecans in it,
right?
But other than that, right? Like the texture, pie texture similar to pumpkin pie texture. Right, the texture is very similar.
Got a little crunch to it,
right?
A little bit of a crunch.
Yeah, I'll pass on both.
Pass on both. See, you can find me with a nice piece of pumpkin pie. I enjoy a nice piece of pumpkin pie. Apple pie, I'm about apple pie. Peach cobbler, maybe even the dessert was always the best part of Thanksgiving for me. Always. Always. It was never the entree. We want to know what's on your menu. 303-713-1043. Why is Dan Jacobs not already here with like a 12-pound bird for the both of us? That's what I'm most curious about. Judge, wherever you are, I expect you're coming in a little bit later with some turkey and maybe some other meats for us all to enjoy. I mean, isn't that a very typical Dan thing to do?
So I work with Dan every weekend, and he talks a big game about his food. I've only had it once.
Right, and how was it?
It was actually really good.
It was? Well, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Prove it.
If you go over to the Jacobs compound.
Oh, the compound.
Which he likes to call the Aurora, Kansas border. the Death Star smoker is a sight to behold.
Is that right? You've seen it with your own peepers, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's got double doors.
Oh.
It's got a rotating rack, and I think it can fit like 30 chickens or something in it, right? So if he's not smoking turkey today, I haven't heard from him. You know, he's a big brisket guy. He likes to smoke the brisket.
I'll be sending him a message here lately.
I don't think I've ever had a smoked turkey, but... yeah, where are you, Judge? He's coming in tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah,
so,
and I hope for some leftovers.
Yeah, leftovers work.
Yeah, whatever you got. Anyway, we want to hear what's on your menu. Got a ton to get into. Get into some Avalanche coming up, and also this NFL slate. We've got three big games. The other thing we've got today is some really good college basketball. We'll dive into all of it over the course of the next several hours. We'll take you up till 10 a.m. today when kickoff of the Bills and Lions and, of course, all three NFL games, a three-pack, all heard on The Fan. We'll be back in just a minute. Matt Smith and Chad Andrus.
In this morning for Schlereth and Evans, here's Chad Andrus and Matt Smith.
RamosLaw.com text line. The wife made homemade cherry pie and green bean casserole with fresh green beans. You guys sound like you've had depressing Thanksgiving dinner. Also, pumpkin pie. Well, he says pumpkin pie is an aphrodisiac, apparently. And sweet potatoes is that. Apparently, pumpkin pie is an aphrodisiac for men, and sweet potatoes is that for women. Did you know that? According to this texter.
I was not aware. I do know.
I have to tell you, I don't get that sensation when I eat pumpkin pie.
In regards to the aphrodisiac element,
yeah.
I understand sweet potatoes and yams are two different things.
Okay.
Right? One, you know, yams are.
Is this like the men are from Mars, women are from Venus?
No, they're two different vegetables.
Okay.
Right? And yams, I think, are originated and come from Africa, and sweet potatoes are somewhat of a cousin and something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know the full breakdown, but I am aware that they are two separate vegetables. They are not the same thing. A sweet potato and a yam are not equivalent of one another.
Right.
But in Africa, there are regions that, because yams are really the only thing that grows and that's what they eat, there is an extremely high population of twins that are born. Because the diet is primarily yams, and that's what they trace it back to. So I don't know.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. There's like per capita more twin births where the diet is predominantly yams than there are other places in the world where it's not.
Shoot. Go figure. You learn something every day. Did you know that, Dante? I had no idea about the yams and the twins.
Look, I'm a twin dad. I've heard everything about twins.
You're a twin dad.
I'm a twin dad.
How old are the twins?
10.
10? 10.
How old's the other one?
Identical?
The best question on that, that's the best question when people meet them.
Right.
Because they're boy-girl twins.
Okay.
And then people say, are they identical?
Are they identical?
And I look at them and I go, no.
No.
One's a boy and right. One's a girl.
There is a ton of really good sports action today. Three NFL games, Bills, Lions, Giants, Cowboys, and Patriots, Vikings, as well as a college football game a little bit later today. Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin are set to do battle in the Egg Bowl as Mississippi State will travel to number 20 Ole Miss tonight as well. And on the college basketball side, there are a ton of good games. You want to talk about ranked teams playing, number one's playing, number three's playing, number eight's playing, number six, number 12, 18, 20, 24. I mean, there are some big-time college basketball games today, starting at 9 a.m. Wisconsin and Kansas.
We'll be paying close attention to that till about 9:08, and then we're going to forget about it for the rest of the day, I think.
Why is that?
Wisconsin beat Dayton yesterday 43-42.
43-42.
Now they play Kansas.
Right. So you're thinking
going to happen.
So you're thinking that KU might be our play of the day here when that line gets dropped. I was looking for that line all night long, and it
seven
did not.
Seven and a half?
Is it 7.5?
That's what a non-gaming website claims.
I don't know what the you're seeing 6.5. That's interesting because Kansas yesterday was playing NC State, and that game was really close until the end. Kansas won 80-74, and the line on that was 8.5.
I believe Wisconsin's top two players went like 1-for-17 or something from the field.
Yikes.
And I don't think they scored a field goal for like the last 9 minutes of the game. So you tell me how that's going to work.
Tennessee is playing USC this morning. And of course, Tennessee ranked 22nd. They got beat by Tad Boyle's Buffs a little bit earlier this year. They're going to face off against Andy Enfield Spartans. By the way, Andy Enfield, not a fan of that guy whatsoever. Duke plays Oregon State today. Carolina, the number one team in the country, is facing Portland this morning. The Portland Pilots, Iowa State, Villanova today, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Florida, and Xavier. And by the way, the DU Pioneers are playing the Citadel today at 4 o'clock. And I imagine we're going to have that game on 104.3 HD2 today. I would imagine that is our DU basketball game at 4 o'clock. And I would imagine the pregame gets rolling at 3:30 if that is tip-off time. UConn and Oregon, Memphis and Seton Hall, Butler and BYU, Purdue and West Virginia. And the one ranked matchup, there is one ranked matchup in college basketball today. Number 18 Alabama plays number 12 Michigan State at 8:30 tonight on ESPN, which is actually going to be really welcome because that final NFL game gets going at about 6:20 tonight on NBC between Patriots and Vikings. So depending upon how that game is, I don't anticipate a very thrilling game there between New England and Minnesota. So we might really need something to watch as a nightcap. And Alabama and Michigan State could be a nice basketball game tonight. So certainly something to keep our eye on. As far as soccer goes, Switzerland and Cameroon played earlier this morning. Uruguay and South Korea are right now playing on FS1. A little bit later at 9 a.m., we've got Portugal and Ghana on Fox. And then at noon, Brazil and Serbia. Brazil and Serbia.
We have to cheer for Serbia, right?
We have to. We have to. Do we have to play Serbia as the underdog in this game to have a Saudi Arabia-level upset of Brazil?
Well, Saudi Arabia beating Argentina was the biggest upset in World Cup history, right?
At least
in the last 30 years.
I think they were like plus 2,000 on the money line. I was reading that. It was giant. I mean, that's the equivalent of, you know, what, Carolina losing to a Portland team, you know, in the tournament, like a 16 beating a 1.
Yeah.
Right?
Argentina's the favorite to win the World Cup, and they still might, but, man, it's just that sport and its history, it just raises questions when things like that happen for people that don't pay really close attention, and that makes it a little more difficult. I would bet big on Argentina going forward. I will just say that. I doubled up on Argentina after they lost.
Oh, is that right? Now, just for the revenge game? That's not a bad idea.
No, just to win the World Cup at better odds after they lost their first match.
I like it. I like it. You're using your brain over there. I like it a lot. By the way, there was one disgruntled Bronco that had some very interesting words, and they were actually kinder than you might expect. We'll dive into those next. It's Matt Smith and Chad Andrus. Happy Thanksgiving out there to you and yours. Join in the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. We'll be back on the other side with some interesting comments from a former Denver Bronco.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.